here. Now, coming up, hopefully, very shortly, we'll be talking to Craig Cardiff about his show that takes place in Cambridge at the Gold Club on Friday, May the 23rd. We're going to have a little bit of Craig Cardiff from his album, Love is Louder Than All This Noise. We're heading to part one, which is the louder side, apparently. And this is The Boy Inside the Boat. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, CFIU, 93.3 FM, in Guelph.
All the moments you wish you'd picked with your heart and not your head. I'll do my best to tell you, say it simply and explain how it's extra to light the candles, but there's no charge, no charge for the rain. Inside the boat, a week that Rita left the band, or Richard left the party, took freedom by the hand. We learn the louder at the hell, the less likely they understand. So please be gentle with them, gentle with yourself. Hold me a seat, I'll be there soon. I starved down the heart, I gave a head to a tremble. We do our best to number, make up stories that explain how it's extra to light the candles. There's no charge, no charge for the rain. And the sandwich board bullies jeered as Henry left the stage. I find the convictions curious from the side of a cage. Did the universe reveal herself? Did she make herself known? Were you too busy or too important to look up from the glow? Hold me a seat, I'll be there soon. I starved out the heart, gave the head to my trunk. We do our best to number, make up stories to explain how it's extra to light the candle, but it's no charge, no charge for the rain. Defenses laid down, how a week there at Mayo would light in the crown. Craving offered comfort and held tight to his hand. Oh, she's dangerous in a friendship, cause she understands. Our best to know better, put your head inside her mouth. Making friends with your monsters, we'll sort them out. Do our best to number, make up stories to explain how it's extra to light the candle, but it's no charge, no charge for the rain. Careful going in. All the future is uncertain. Enjoy everything. Oh, hold me a seat, I'll be there soon. I starved out the heart, I gave a head to my drum. We do our best to number and make up stories to explain how it's extra to light the candle. No charge for the rain. And we found the boy inside the boat the week that
always extra to light the candles, but it's no time, no time for the rain. Charge for the rain, no charge for the rain.
That's Craig Cardiff and The Boy Inside the Boat, and you can find that on his latest release, which has the wonderful title Love is Louder Than All This Noise. It also has part one and part two, which means that you can be louder on one side and gentler on the other. And it's my great pleasure to welcome to Folk Roots Radio this morning, Craig Cardiff. How are you doing today, Craig?
I'm good, Jen. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a wonderful pleasure. I think the last time we talked was around the time of Floods and Fires, which was another wonderful album. I got to say, I think I might love this one even more. That mainly is because you've been so creative with it. And I've got to give you, a huge big hand for that. Because, in this day and age, particularly when we have people, we're in this digital age where, maybe people buy a song here and buy a song there and maybe that's all they're going to get, or maybe they go to YouTube and just watch a few videos and that satisfies them. You put out a double album that gives people music they can listen to when they want something a little bit more up, or music when they want to have something just a little quieter. So I wanted to kick things off by giving you a chance to talk about why you decided to put the album out this way.
Well, the album was produced by my friend Ben Leggett, who I worked with Floods and Fires on, and when we were working on this album, the idea was we kind of went through the process of having the basket of songs in the middle and picking which ones would get to stay or which ones were getting kicked off for future projects. And there's enough songs that were getting kept in with different approaches being recommended between Ben and I that We had the space to go left or right with the song, and it was almost in effect. I was able to cover my own material, which was it was interesting. It's like, why not present a song with the face of full band live, loud, and then in other cases maybe approach it with a more fragile voice.
We know it's great you did that. I do love it. I know people like Billy Bragg have also done that. And I like the opportunity to see both sides of a song, because there can be quite a difference between the band version of a song and then something that is more stripped down, acoustic as well, don't you think?
I remember having the experience of, and I'm embarrassed to say, but actively disliking the song Human by The Killers. Because at the time for me, it was everywhere in the world. It was being played at hockey games. It was omnipresent, and the melody and the poppiness made me disconnect immediately. And I'll agree that its popularity. And it was I was at a performance I was giving, a private performance, and the parents of this little 4-year-old guy came up and they said, our son sings, could he sing? And it was the perfect atmosphere. I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, I asked if they wanted me to strum behind him, and they're like, no, there's a song he really loves. And so I adjusted the mic down and I watched this 4-year-old breathlessly sing the words to Human by The Killers. And suddenly I heard the words, and suddenly I was like being punched in the chest. It's such like a powerful idea, a powerful song that I hadn't been open to before because of the way the music had been wrapped around it. And so I think the same of this, where the idea is sometimes people won't hear it unless it's presented in a different way.
Well, it's certainly very intriguing, and I've got to say, because from your point of view, I can't remember what the price of this album was, but when you put out a double instead of a single, I mean, that's basically just increasing your cost, right? What, right off the bat, isn't that the way that you would look at it from a, you know, I mean, like from the business of making music sure. point of view?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's definitely you don't make twice as much money, necessarily, but I also believe that people who buy albums and support them are the same people who come out to shows, and who also encourage their friends to come out to shows. And so I think it's a mistake to look at it on the face and just say, well, you know, it's too expensive to do it this way. I think you have to follow the project where it leads. And I think in this case, try to create art that people can connect with and that people get excited about.
Well, you know, it's interesting because to me, the lyrics always seem really important to you on your songs, and we'll talk a little bit about your writing style in a second. But the thing I like about this project is the fact that you can listen to the lyrics. I mean, it's kind of, I'm almost saying, you know, this is like, it's almost like a bedsitter album. You know, you can go back to sitting in your bedsitter with your headphones on, listening to the lyrics to your songs, because they're always very intriguing. And that's one of the things I love about your music, is the fact that it demands listening to, which is, again, a good reason to have the stripped down, gentler side. However, I've got to say that even on your louder side, maybe your next album would need to be a triple, and maybe we'd have to have gentle, louder, and really loud, because right. That tends to be how you are. But let's talk a bit about how you write your songs, because I have this strong sense that the lyrics are really important, and perhaps you can take us through how you came up with, we just listened to The Boy Inside the Boat, which is a very beautiful song. And perhaps that would be a good example of a song you've written. Give us a little insight into the mind of Craig Cardiff, how you come up with a song like that.
Sure. Well, in the case of The Boy Inside the Boat, I was touring around Alberta, and it was the week that Richie Havens and Rita McNeil had left. And I have no idea, but I say with a degree of certainty that they likely never intersected in terms of their styles of music, but they both held important places. And it was also the same that the Boston bomber was being hunted. And I remember being in all these airport terminals and hotel lobbies, and so all you would see is TV. And you just saw the thermal image above capturing the boat. And I remember thinking, like, this is crazy. These three things don't connect. And the only way they intersected was the week that they were happening, and that I find that the process of traveling and being away from your familiar things opens you up. And so I just wrote it, and then it was like, you know, trying to capture important things from that like immediate period, and it all came together for me. All came together in any case. The idea of, you know, whenever there's something is hopeful, or there's potential happiness, there's always a charge for it, or somebody seeking profit from it. But whenever we get terrible things like happened the past summer with the floods in Alberta, there's never any charge. Anyway, so that was some of the concepts behind that.
So am I right in thinking that do you carry a book with you, and then you'll scribble some of these ideas down for a song, and then, are you someone that works through the lyrics first, or do you have a tune that's coming together, and then you decide to, you know, decide what to put with it?
Well, no, absolutely. Like the idea of chronicling and kind of if catching every little bit of the song as they come to be, and coming back to them as well, Like, I think of, you know, in that case, the song that was written really started during that kind of week, and then added to as the summer progressed. But then I think of it contrasted with something like the father-daughter dance song, and having basically I committed to writing a song for friends who were getting married, and I hadn't, you know, I had 6 months to work on it, and I really didn't work on it to any great length until the day of the wedding. And it was during the speeches, part of me, the speeches where it all came together. So,
well, it's interesting. We played the father-daughter dance. I think we played that last week on this show. And then anyone who listens to the show on a regular basis knows that we do enjoy your music. And we have certainly been very enthusiastic in supporting this new album, which, you know, I can only heap a ton of praise on, because I think that you are someone who is not just living their art, but really is so very willing to share it with people, which is great. The fact that we've talked about, you know, your lyrics and everything raises the question of whether you write in other ways. Do you, you know, do you write poetry, or have you written prose at different times?
I mean, it's not something that I've pursued maybe as fully as I'd like to. Like, it's an interesting thing once you, yeah, I'd like to. It's something I'd like to give more space to, because I find myself at times where I'm like, this format, it can feel silly. Like, the idea of starting and stopping within 5 minutes for an idea doesn't always seem to be the right way to communicate an idea. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I would like to do more of and be open to. One thing that I've been doing, and I've spoken a lot about, is taking... I've been taking books along with me to shows for the past 2 years. I think I'm over 200 now, but just books where people are writing true things in them. And basically using those as jumping points for songs.
Yeah.
And that's been an interesting, or an education all of itself, where, you know, we think we know each other, or we can have an idea of who the average person would be in a room of a folk audience. The reality is, we don't, you know, when you get people writing about all the big things or hard things they've been through.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the live shows, because I know one of the shows that we have been talking about in this show is the show in Cambridge, which takes place on Friday, May the 23rd. It's at the Galt Club, which is second floor above Cafe 13 Main Street in Galt. Can you give people a little idea of what to expect at Craig Cardiff show?
Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure what to expect myself, so I can tell you what's happened in the past, but I would just ask that people come excited to sing along, and that there's as much, probably more humor than they might expect at a regular show, and just, yeah, I don't know, to come and be joyful, and to sing in all the best possible ways.
Now, I know you're someone that works very, very hard at their career. I know, because when I do this show each week, I'm on Twitter and Facebook during the show, and I don't know how you have your life organized, but you're always on Twitter and Facebook as well. You're always out there letting people know about... where you will be and what have you. Can we talk a little bit about where you hope your future goes?
Sure. I mean, I hopefully just kind of where it is now, in terms of, I feel lucky to support myself doing this and to have, like, to have enough work and enough good work that is challenging and allows me to connect with people and perform. Like, if this is it, this is wonderful. Anything else is beyond it. Would have to be put through the decision filter of whether it's, you know, better or just different in terms of and if it's working on film track stuff or touring in different markets. But no, I just feel really blessed.
Do you hope that one day you'll write that big song? And we started this conversation talking about The Killers and Human. Do you hope that one day, you know, because I see a lot of potential there. I think one day there will be that huge song that you write. Do you think that one day that you'll get that? I know a lot of people talk about the big song that changes their career.
Maybe, but I also think it's like when people talk about looking for love, right? And they're like, you know, I'm gonna find that, and I don't. At least in my experience, I just don't. Anything that is attempted to be crafted with that intention in mind of being a hit or whatever, I feel like kind of defeats the purpose. So I think to turn the attention away from that, just to try to continue to write good songs that I'm proud of. You know, so I think of myself when I'm 80, and you know I'm hanging out with whatever friends of mine are left, and you know my daughter's hanging out with us, and that there's a body of work that is I'm proud of and is still connecting with people in some regard. I'll be happy with that, and I would take that over a radio hit any day.
Well, I'm sure you'll get there. Certainly, there's a lot of us that really enjoy your music. Again, Craig Cardiff will be in Cambridge Friday, May the 23rd, for a show at the Galt Club, second floor above Cafe 13. Tickets are $15 online at craigcardiff.com and $20 at the door. The support act will be the Vaudevillian, and the show starts at 8 p.m. Check out folkrootsradio.com for all the details. We've got just a few seconds left, Craig. I'm going to get you to introduce the next song, and I'd like you just to talk briefly about it. It's one of the most beautiful songs on the album. It is the song Lenny Bruce Lee, and I'd like you just to talk about it and then introduce it for us.
So this is the intention of this was to write a slow dance courting song, and the line started with just playing with the word placement of Lenny Bruce or versus Bruce Lee, and putting them at opposite ends of the spectrum of like toughness to, you know, kind of fragility, and I remember, I don't know if it was my mom or my grandmother, but the expression of taking the long way home was kind of a wink and a nod to, you know, finding a quiet place with somebody you were excited about, and whether it was parking the car or what have you, that was, you know, whenever it was said of somebody that they were taking the long way home, you knew what they were up to. And, yeah, I just liked the waltz. The song grabbed a waltz kind of presentation, and as Ben and I worked on it, and I'm really happy with where we landed.
That's wonderful. So I'll just get you to introduce it, and I want to wish you luck. And look forward to talking to you once again.
Thank you so much, Jen. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Craig Cardiff, and you're listening to Lenny Bruce Lee.
Thanks again.
Take care.
And that's all we have time for this week. We'll see you next time. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
He walked up to front of stage, Melanie Bruce and Bruce Lee. Said, is there a doctor in the house? My hands are all clammy, spine is rubber, less lying than mouse. A mess, no tears, pitch perfect. You wonder why, and she said, it's the way you treat the lions, and dressed up courageous at the end of the night, it's back to the cages, and I can't stand it. I can barely take it.
the flavor of a week, or the headlines that are counted is quite the thing to see. My story was a mess, near tears, pitch perfect. She asked why, I said, you see, it's the townies and carnies, and dressed up courageous at the end of night, and back to the cages, and I can't stand it. Let's take the Lord.